This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Frankly, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to get to Stock Up, Stock Down Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds and debut a brand new segment, Moneyline Marathon, coming to you later on in the show. It is a big show, Jensen, because it feels like Christmas Day to a degree. It is time for the start of the NFL season. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Got some other responsibilities later on in the day. Going to talk some UFC as I do with First Strike each and every week with Rob Moreno. Got to get my workout in, a couple calls I got to make, Jensen, maybe even a nap. But you have to prepare mentally and physically for the start of the marathon that is the NFL season. And it begins tonight in Seattle. The number, Jensen, down to 3. Hooks are going away. You can still find them in some places. And that total slightly up to 44.5.
Yep. Jumped on this money line for the Patriots a couple of days ago at +$1.67, seeing that down to +$1.55 this morning. As you said, 3.5s going away rather quickly, down to 3s in lots of places. Cannot wait to get it kicked off tonight. Should be a very raucous atmosphere. The raising of the championship banner to the rafters in front of the 12s. A highly motivated New England Patriots team, all they've heard all offseason is stuff off the field and trying to get the focus back on the field. So excited to get that going. Dave, great friend of the program, General Mitchie Moss, as many of you affectionately mm-hmm. know, one of the OGs here at Bad Pete Moss, also giving us a real-time update. The LA Rams on Ram Force One are about halfway to Melbourne as we speak, okay? So that is good. You've got about... let's see, estimated 5:06 a.m. I'm going to do the time change here in a moment. Wow. That is 5:06 a.m. Australian time that they're supposed to get in there tomorrow. So it will be tomorrow, September 10th, when they land. Okay, back in time, going forward into Back to the Future, however you want to look at it. Thank you, General Mitchie Moss, for that critical update. Do appreciate Ram Force One having VSiN by the Books on as entertainment for those that are just getting up out of the laydown beds. Was told, Dave, that every player would get a laydown bed on this flight to Australia. So big development there. Also, I know you have developments to update everyone on specifically in that game. One guy will not be in one of the laydown beds there on Ram Force One.
Big 99 did not make the trip, the Hall of Famer to be coming out of retirement. Aaron Donald will not be with the squad over there in Melbourne. So they get a little bit more of an on ramp here for Big 99 to come back. I would expect to see him for week 2 in their Monday night tilt against the Giants. That's what you could probably expect to see Aaron Donald back in the fold there for the Rams. By the way, I did officially play over 44.5 here in the season opener tonight. That is now an official play in pocket there. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you will see that added to our pick selection. Baker Mayfield, boy, if you're feeling dangerous, he's feeling a little bit richer in his pocket too. 3-year extension, $165 million. Remember, this was kind of that game of chicken, but it felt like the game was over. Like they'd said, all right, great. We're not going to get a deal done. And we're both going to be professionals about this. We talked about it on the program a couple weeks ago. Baker's like, great, we're not going to negotiate. I'll bet on myself. Seemed like he and Jason Licht maybe had a little bit of an issue going on there. Well, the GM has given the quarterback the money he wants. Jensen, are we good now? Can we do like Doc Holliday and Tombstone, put down the guns and say, yeah, now we can be friends? It feels like they're friends again in Tampa Bay, at least for the next 3 years.
Spot the ball. Let's go play. I think that's where Baker and company are. Baker now, the moneymaker. He's got it ready to rock and roll. The guarantee, the average annual value now, respective of, I think, what he would feel that he is worth in this market at the age and the accomplishments that he has put forward. Make no mistake, it is a very interesting start to the season. A little mini tour through the AFC North, Buccaneers in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, then we'll welcome in the Cleveland Browns in week number 2. But Dave, you already know 2 places I have circled: at Atlanta, home against Atlanta. There is no love lost between Baker Mayfield, Kevin Stefanski. That might be an auto play for me in both those matchups. If Baker has the weaponry that I think he really feels could be a difference maker here in 2026.
Yeah, that younger Baker, he didn't have a whole lot of love for a lot of his former coaches back in the day. So we saw that throughout young Baker Mayfield, now into his 30s, if you can believe that. Patrick Mahomes is not getting any younger, but he is getting healthier. And that's really good news here if you're a Chiefs backer. 15 will be under center on Monday night. This number has come down to significant from 3 to 2.5. And that's a big half point here. Wouldn't be as big, obviously, if it's 5 to 4.5 or 5.5. But when you go from 3 down to 2.5, Jensen, we're expecting good health from both Patrick Mahomes and Bo Nix. We both saw their career, or their seasons end rather, last year. Hopefully their careers are going to be just fine going forward. And this total sitting at 44 for the Monday night matchup here in Arrowhead.
A big finish, right, to week one of the NFL season. I saw a bit of the Andy Reid press conference yesterday. It was so hysterical watching him talk about it, but I understand why he had to do it. He said he was pretty sure that Patrick is going to be the guy that's going to be out there, barring something unforeseen. And he was very just monotone about it. Like, I'm trying not to crack a smile watching him. But hey, this was in question in the offseason, right? The rehab timeline. Would he be ready to go? Would he be physically able to command the offense? And oh, by the way, Dave, it just happens to be Monday Night Football in a massive AFC West divisional game right out of the chute. So good for the game to have Patrick Mahomes back. I know a lot of Bronco fans excited about Bo Nix back under center. New weaponry for him there in the Bronco offense. And that Bronco defense, man, a strength on strength potentially here at Arrowhead Stadium there on Monday night.
Yeah, well, Baker Mayfield's 31 these days. Patrick Mahomes is 30 these days. So, you know, we're starting to see this generation of quarterback now get into their 30s. Bo Nix still a very young man there for the Denver side, but both guys coming off injury. This saga just will not end in the SEC with LSU. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but they are going to have a vote. This is a scheduled vote by the rest of the conference to decide, Jensen, do we want to actually kick out LSU? I find this preposterous on the surface, but it sounds like they're going to go through this. Could you imagine come Friday that we're talking about LSU being expelled from the SEC?
I told you in hour one, I'll say it again here. It feels very Animal House double secret probation right now. A vote that may not need to happen, but will happen just to say, hey, I told you so. We meant what we said. We would have gone through it. It's like, I remember this. This is very Josh Beckett from back in my days playing with the Indians. So as you remember, I threw at Adrian Beltre to defend a teammate, first pitch at the bottom of the eighth. And it reminds me of, you know, the kid at recess who stands behind the tallest and biggest dude and is yelling and it's like, oh, I'll come beat you up. And then, you know, there's nothing to it. This is kind of what I feel like the SEC wanted to try and, you know, kind of assert their will. LSU might have been, you know, the little kid yelling and saying, oh, yeah, I'll beat you up. And the SEC is like, okay, come on, let's see what you can do. And I think the other thing to take into effect here, Dave, the two players that completed the 105 official roster for LSU were not Daquan Wright or Xavion Harris. So I think this puts to bed the NFL saga portion. I don't think we're done with it yet as far as litigation, as far as, you know, what will happen with injunctions and rules moving forward. But at least for now, it feels like we have tabled this whole drama with LSU and the SEC.
Yeah, and I think to that point, with not putting the two guys on the roster officially, and they cannot play now this year for LSU, maybe a whole to do it about nothing. And they're going to say, well, why are you going to kick us out then? Like, we didn't violate your rule. Like, we threatened to violate your rule, but we didn't violate your rule. So what are you going to do now? That's going to be very interesting. I don't know if it's going to be a showdown at the OK Corral or not, but I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that Animal House-esque meeting when they put Lane Kiffin's face up there in the projector. Oregon did fall here in the AP poll from 2 to 6, kind of a lackluster opening game victory against Boise State. Remember, that was in Eugene. So they didn't look the part of maybe the second best team in the country. So now we get into those eye tests a little bit. And speaking of the eye test, Michigan did not pass it. That's for sure. And we know now that Western Michigan is actually saying, hey, you need to vacate that victory. Like, legally, like, we need to have that decision overturned. We haven't heard the end of that, but Michigan is right now, Jensen, out of the top 25.
Dave, I was the beneficiary in my JLF Fantrax college football fantasy league over the weekend. A fumble loss that was credited to Keelan Russell, my starting quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide, was vacated and gave me enough points to take me from a loser to a winner in college fantasy football. So if anyone is a beneficiary of an appeal, I will raise my hand. I hope Western Michigan, as a devout Buckeye fan, Dave, I hope that the right thing happens. Michigan's win is vacated and it is given to Western Michigan because, Dave, never in the history of organized college football have we had a team win in extra time. Overtime is different, okay? That's when both teams are legally allowed to go compete against each other. This was criminal, high crimes and misdemeanors. I don't know what's going to come of it, but the NCAA needs to do the right thing. Take the win away from that team up north. They did not rightfully win that game fairly and legally. I hope the right thing happens. I preface that, Dave, as a devout Buckeye fan against Michigan.
I can say this, even if they overturn it and give it to Western Michigan, you can never take away the storming of the field after beating Western by 1 point. you can't take that away, kids. That'll be there forever, no matter what happens, whatever the courts decide. It's just amazing how many times we're talking about courts and college football. And we thought once the game started, that would be the end of the courtroom dramas. We might have another one here with Western Michigan and Michigan after what we saw at the Big House over the weekend. Let's get into our futures portfolio here in the NFL. We've got plays for game number one. We certainly have plays for week number one. And we've got deeper plays for the entirety of the season. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this day. We can't wait for the beginning of the NFL season tonight with New England and Seattle. Much more talk about that game, obviously, as the show goes on. Getting some great viewer emails as well, bythebooks@vsin.com. Please let us know what is on your mind. And a lot of questions. Jensen saw some about bankroll here after we had that conversation earlier in the program about the proper way to do these sort of things. And certainly a lot of people talking about LSU. So there's a lot to get to here on a very busy show. We're going to have Wes Reynolds join us a little bit later on Wednesdays with Wes. And again, Moneyline Marathon, we're going to debut that in just a little bit as well. But Jensen, I do want to get into our portfolios and certain plays that we already have in pocket in the futures market in the NFL. And some of these, I literally just call them Jay Lou plays, crossover parlays at this point, because I've started to actually add them into my portfolio here. And I really did not do that until you and I started doing the show over a year and a half ago now. And I start to think in those terms of maybe how do I boost up a number with something that I really like out there. So it has helped me get some juicier numbers out there. Now, to the short end of it, it's a team that I'm very high on, and I don't think that this is an opinion that everybody here at the network agrees with, and I'm okay with that, and that's the Titans. I like this team a lot. They've looked terrible in the preseason. I've told you over and over, I put very little, if any, stock in what I see in the preseason. I still trust brain trust, and I'm going to trust Robert Saleh, and I'm really going to trust Brian Daboll to get the most out of this Titans offense this year. And I think Cam Ward this year is going to take a massive step forward in year number two. So I am in heavy on the Titans in my futures portfolio. So what does that mean? Well, it means I did play them over 6.5 at plus money at plus $1.10 to be at least a 7-win team. Now, by my math, if they can get me 7 wins, Jensen, in what I think might be a watered down division, we'll find out what Houston is. Their defense is spectacular. And they're not even the reigning defendings of this division. So I get that. Jacksonville looks like they're going to be a team that some people think has got some real staying power. But I think top to bottom, if this is the bottom, Tennessee, this division's getting a whole lot better because they've gotten a massive upgrade in coaching. And it was sorely lacking from this squad. And that's why they had a coaching change midway through the year a year ago. And again, I've mentioned this before. Cam Ward is the oldest young guy. He's an old soul and a young body, and that's exactly what I want. Troy Aikman was like this. I'm not saying he's going to be Troy Aikman and win 3 Super Bowls, but Troy Aikman was an adult as a kid, as a young player back in Dallas, and wanted to be coached tough and wanted then, by osmosis and being the leader of the team, coach the players tough. And that's what you're going to get from year two of Cam Ward. So if they can win at least seven games, which I think they will, get closer to that nine spectrum, they're going to be in play to win this division. And I did play them as a long shot play at 9-1 to win this division. We've talked about worst to first all the time, Jensen. I think they're going to be in play to do it. Look, if they can't get all the way there, hopefully at least I can be in a position to monetize at the end of the year. If they're in the running and get to break those down individually by games, if they're in the running down, say, week 15, 16, 17, that's what I'm looking for. My J. Lou cross-sport parlays. I love the Cowboys this year. We've talked about that. Well, I didn't get the best of the number at, say, 2-1 to win the East. Well, you get it almost a 3-1. When you put it in with, I believe that we will win, Team USA is going to win the President's Cup, okay? So I don't want to lay the $4 on the President's Cup straight-out victory. So I did a Jensen Lewis cross-sport parlay, and I combined that with the Cowboys to win the East. Let's get this in pocket with the President's Cup in September and have a nice, fun sweat at a much better number, plus 275. And again, cross-sport parlay number two, college NFL. In the college guide, you notice I was a one-shot silver bullet man this year. It's Virginia Tech. I like this football team a lot. I like them a lot more after what I saw against VMI. I know it's VMI. Over 6.5 wins combined with the Cowboys, over 8.5 wins, and I almost get that at 2-1 at plus $1.82. Jensen Lewis, you've inspired me in a couple of those to get some juicier numbers with plays I really like. That is my futures portfolio with two Jensen Lewis-inspired cross-sport parlays.
All right, wonderful. My futures will probably be very sparse to start the year as they usually are, but move a little bit more into expanding the portfolio as the year unfolds. Mentioned it to you yesterday, repeat it today. I picked the Rams over the Ravens in the Super Bowl this year, so I played them to match there to win the AFC and the NFC. So that's a 22-1 Super Bowl exacta ticket. Also said if chaos ensues, I took a little Packers Broncos at 94-1 for a Super Bowl exacta. Dave, the night that we hit our big 50-1 on draft night, Arbel Reese, number 5 overall exacta to the New York Giants. I might've had a few adult beverages in me, had some texts from some people, and some of my Browns friends were like, you won't put $100 on the Browns to win the AFC. I'm like, watch me do it. I had the screenshot. I have the ticket. No, I did not cash out. Browns to win the AFC at 75-1. Okay. This is not happening, but if it does, the 0.01% chance, if we even get to a monetization opportunity, in my heart of hearts, Dave, I have to do the right thing with my head and put a hedge in so I at least make money off the ticket. But if they go to the Super Bowl, I will be in Los Angeles for that one. Kate Klubnik, who I told you, we talked about our awards market. This was a long shot I was willing to take. If the Jets get off to a really slow start and Aaron Glenn's feeling the heat, I think he may make the move to try and, you know, at least say I exhausted every possible avenue I could to try and save my job. He looked great in the preseason. So Kate Klubnik, 80-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then shout out Matt Eumanns, was one of the first at our network to talk about Fernando Mendoza. Will he play this year at all? This number has cascaded way down at this point. Under 2,649.5 passing yards for Fernando Mendoza for the year. I think we're down to like 2,100 or something at this point. And then a tradition unlike any other, the cross-sport parlays of championships. In the initial ones that I've put in for this NFL season, I took the Brewers to win the World Series, parlay with the Bills to win the Super Bowl. That's plus 9250, so a little over 92-1. Also put the Brewers with the Broncos at a little over 177-1. And then, as I told you yesterday, the American League's wide open. I don't know if the Southsiders can do it, but I want a little bit of share of a team that's got a great chance to get through and have that bye as a top two seed into the American League Division Series round. So I parlayed the White Sox to win the World Series with the Bills to win the Super Bowl, 230-1. I'm trying not to cough and joke with myself about it. But again, this is the reason we do the exercise, David. It has been incredibly profitable for us in different iterations we've had in the past. And again, just to reiterate to people, we use this during the World Cup. For example, I had Spain to win the World Cup, parlay with the Phillies to win the World Series. That's now 106-1 World Series ticket on Philadelphia. That's going to be huge to be able to monetize whenever we want to in the National League postseason. As we did with the New York Knicks, we got a way back win at 35-1 to win the NBA title. We parlayed them in April with the Yankees to win the World Series. That's now 287-1. So, Dave, I want to reinforce this. You brought up a great idea about bankroll management. We do a lot of these cross-sport parlays, not to necessarily see them all the way through, but it's to get an ROI advantage where we can decide when we want to hedge it, when we want to make those bets that ultimately lock in a profit. And that's why we do this exercise, whether it be win totals, whether it be championships, what have you. It's a great way to be able to lock in a great odds number, and then you take the profit when you see fit. And again, we will do this throughout the football season. Once basketball and hockey get going again, baseball postseason, it's a great way to make money in the futures market. We love doing it here and appreciate those who have tailed us to this point.
Totally. And again, Moneyline Marathon, we're going to debut that segment a little bit later on. Speaking of ways for you to follow along with us here on the program as the weeks go, hopefully we're going to be doing this all year long, Jensen. That's the idea of something like a Moneyline Marathon that we're going to start and debut today. And we'll give you those tickets and those plays that we have out there coming up a little bit later on in the program. I do want to point out, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, if you're watching on YouTube TV, I've been notified by a lot of Hokie fans that we use the UVA Cavaliers logo for my Hokies bet. Uh-oh. And I know that's nails on a chalkboard out there. You know how that is, Jensen, right? So we got you, Hokies. We hear you, my man, John Chu. I got immediate texts out there from my Hokie brethren out there. Yes, we will make sure we get the VT on there properly here instead of UVA. We know those are fighting words in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But Jensen, I do like some of these cross-sport parlays, and I say it in all seriousness too now, they can be. They've been fun, but they're also a nice way that you've kind of pointed out ways to boost up those things. We did it a lot in golf betting, right? If you don't want to play Scottie Scheffler, for instance, a lot of times, we'd say, hey, play Scottie top 10, which felt like it was almost a constant every week, and it would then boost up some of those tickets that you had for some of the numbers if you want to get them at juicier price points. That's what I've done, and I'm continually doing here with the President's Cup. And I've talked a little bit about that here as one of those, if you will, the mule from Clint Eastwood. That's going to be my mule runner. It's going to be the President's Cup to get them with some of these NFL futures and then boost up those numbers. So I love that exercise out there, Jensen. And we'll get to that Moneyline Marathon a little bit later on in the program. But let's talk some baseball when we come back. Significant games down to the wire we go here in some of these wild card races. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
All right, let's cut the bull. Real football food starts with real beef. Omaha Steaks is the official sponsor of tailgating, and every burger, steak, dog, brat, it's made with 100% American beef. No shortcuts, grass-fed, grain-finished, extra-aged, USDA-certified tender. And right now, you get 2 free pounds of 100% American ultra-premium ground beef on any order of $129 or more. So make game day decisions and make them delicious. No bull. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. See the site for all of said details. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people cooking on the grill tonight, getting ready for NFL week number one. But Jensen, lots going on in Major League Baseball. We're getting down to the nitty gritty, the wild card races, divisional races. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. We feel like there's certainly races in the wild card race that we're going to talk a lot about here for those last wild card spots. I'm not saying that it's over, that the Yankees, Red Sox, it does feel like they're almost to that point now where it would take a monumental collapse for either one of those two teams to miss it. Same thing with the Cubs and the Phillies in the National League. So Jensen, when you start there, is it fair to say that we've got two leagues fighting for one more wild card spot here and that those top two teams feel pretty cemented at this point?
Yeah, well, so start in the American League, because I think that's the more imperative side here. First and foremost, the both leagues have a lot up for grabs as far as all six seeds are concerned. And I think that is the underlying part of why we're going to do this exercise today. So people understand, if you're looking to get into a futures market, if you're looking to play in some of these sports books on exact seeds, which may be better than, say, division winners or things of that nature, that might be a way to go. So in the American League, Tampa Bay is actually in a very advantageous spot. They already have the tiebreaker over the Chicago White Sox, which is critical because if you're looking for that number one and number two seed, Tampa Bay is really feeling good, knowing that they have the opportunity here pretty healthy, right? Let's see. I think it's still 11. Oh, it's 11 games. So just for what it's worth, in case Tampa were to go on an ultimate losing streak and Chicago were to bypass them, you still have the opportunity to finish tied, and Tampa Bay has the tiebreaker. They have a critical one over the Yankees. Why is that important, Dave? Because Tampa Bay begins play today four games ahead of the Yankees in the loss column. And as we saw last year, the American League East comes down to the final day. Toronto, by virtue of winning the season series over the Yankees, ends up winning the division title and the bye into the divisional round. The White Sox, the lone tiebreaker, it's a big one. It's over the Guardians. And guess what? They're going to play each other next week, and the division could be on the line at that point. So advantage Chicago. Houston in a very advantageous spot too, because they're in a fight anyway for the American League West, Dave. A couple of games ahead of the Texas Rangers, who ended up getting past Seattle. I think we can stick a fork in the Seattle Mariners now. That has just been as disappointing as it gets. Mm. Houston with tiebreakers over Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, the Rangers. So again, Houston up two games, Dave, but it's technically three because they have the tiebreaker over Texas. Now, let's talk wild card. Yankees and Red Sox. Dave, the Yankees are nine games up on the Guardians for the top wild card spot. Red Sox are six up. I don't think it's advantageous to look at betting who would be a number four or number five right now, because the Yankees do have the tiebreaker over Boston. Those two, whether it's the Yankees hosting the Red Sox or vice versa, that's going to be your 4-5, barring something unforeseen. If you're looking to play, and I said this yesterday, I'll repeat it, if you're looking to play in the American League, don't play a make the playoffs for the wild card team, Dave. Play or split up a unit, take half of it on, you know, Cleveland to be the number six seed, Toronto, whoever you think out of Cleveland, Toronto, and Texas to be that final wild card, take half a unit on them to be the number six seed, and then take half a unit on them to win the World Series. Why would I do that? Okay. The route to the American League Championship Series, remember, the seeding is locked in. So the 4-5 plays the one seed. That means Yankees Red Sox winner is going to play Tampa Bay. Okay. Or if Tampa Bay somehow falls, the winner of the East is going to be the one seed. And then they're locked into playing those two American League East teams, whoever wins in the wild card race, the wild card round. The two, whoever, you know, if it's Chicago, if it's Houston, doesn't matter to me. I think the road to the American League Championship Series far better for that number six seed, whoever it may be, because they're going to be live. There's not a lot of daylight between Chicago, Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, Texas. There's just not, Dave. So that's why I would say whoever you think wins the number six seed in the American League, half a unit on them to be the exact, the number six seed, and half to win the World Series, because then you've got monetization opportunities. Should they find their way into the American League Championship Series, they're going to be an underdog to whoever that team is, whether it's Tampa, New York, Boston. They're going to be a series underdog in that ALCS format.
What I will say, what I heard in there too, was a final declaration that Seattle is done. The book agrees with you. They have drifted to 18-1 to make the postseason, not win the division. 18-1 to make the postseason, 6.5 games out, 11 games under 500, maybe the most disappointing team outside of the New York Metropolitans. All right, let's talk about the National League here a little bit, Jensen, because again, while we're talking about some of the machinations here in the American League, what do you see in the senior circuit here? Certainly down the stretch they come.
Okay, still a lot to play for, right? Congratulations to Milwaukee Brewers, winners of their 90th game last night in walk-off fashion.
Amazing.
The Cubs, we got questions now about the Cubs bullpen, Dave, and that is critical headed into the postseason. A big reason why we do some cross-sport parlays is because the numbers are so short for Milwaukee, for the Dodgers, You know, even looking at Philadelphia now, as the tiebreakers are concerned, Milwaukee has it in spades over all the top teams in the National League. It is still a race, though, Dave, because the Brewers, they're only up a game in the loss column on the Dodgers. The best part, though, they have the tiebreaker. So make that two games that, at least the Brewers have on the Dodgers. So your ticket, I believe, reminding people at 5-1 for the Brewers to be the one seed. You are in the Capford seat, and you importantly have the two big tiebreakers there over the Dodgers and the Phillies. And why are the Phillies important? They're still within striking distance of the Atlanta Braves. Yes, they're four games back. They're going to have a little bit of a run here, and Atlanta's going to have to leak some oil because the Braves do have the tiebreaker 7-3 over Philadelphia. Where I would look yet again here at a potential ad in a futures market. I don't really care if it's Arizona or San Diego to get the final wild card. I don't think they're beating whether it's Atlanta or Philadelphia in that 3-6 wild card best of three. And I would say, even more so if it is Philadelphia in the three seed, I think both Arizona and San Diego are 2-Q just because of where Philadelphia is at home with that rotation, with the bullpen. It's a huge mismatch. Now, if you're looking at Chicago, Chicago has still got some things going their way. They own a massive tiebreaker over the Phillies. Why is that important? They are a half game behind the Phillies right now for the top wild card spot. So I think home field advantage is so massive in that 4-5 because of the way that both those teams play at home. That is critical, okay? So here's the thought process. If you think that the Dodgers are very vulnerable, which they might be, remember, they're going to play the winner of the 3-6. So that's Atlanta or Arizona / San Diego. Dave, I'll ask you, I don't know if any of those teams in a five-game series could beat the Dodgers. So here's what I would do. I would look at, and fortunately I already have these guys. I have the Brewers and the Phillies in two big cross-sport parlays, okay? The Cubs, I have questions about their bullpen. But I can't go anywhere else. I'll ask you, would you rather try and get shares of Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Chicago, or would you just wait and kind of see if the Dodgers find their way through to the National League Championship Series?
I'd say this. If the Dodgers get that two seed, as you're alluding to right now, which is where they're currently positioned behind Milwaukee, and if San Diego got into that wild card round and they usurp Arizona, look, when you're the Dodgers, you're not scared of anybody. So I don't want this to be misconstrued out there in the general public. But if there was a team that I'd say that they would prefer to avoid, if you gave them their pick, it'd be San Diego. I think San Diego is the one team that feels like, hey, in a battle of Los Angeles, California, whatever, San Diego, we're not too far away. We've got proximity. We've got history with these guys. And we felt like we left them off the hook a couple years ago. Maybe this dynasty wouldn't even have started had we gotten the job done when we had the opportunity to. San Diego would be the one team that I'd be looking at to say that if they got in, I'm not saying the other teams are rooting for Arizona necessarily, but if San Diego got in, Jensen, they might be the scare factor out there because, again, the names in the back of those bubblegum cards, they did not play well at the beginning of the year. They played much better in the second half of it. I still wouldn't want to go up against the Tatis Jr. and Machado with the starting pitcher. We know about Mason Miller, maybe the best closer in baseball. They've got components that I think could scare the Dodgers, the Braves, and or the Brewers for sure. Let's get back to NFL talk here when we come back. And you're going to bet the Bill for the first time this year? Let's go! Daily Gridiron straight ahead.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is finally over. The NFL season kicks off today. Now is the time to get your edge with a VSiN Pro subscription. When you sign up today, instant access to our updated NFL betting guide, post preseason updates, week one betting system starting tonight, contest strategies, fresh best bets from all of our experts. Also, in conjunction with college football well underway, you're going to get a preview of all 138 teams out there and what we've seen so far with those daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And Jensen, we're talking a lot about our sleep and sleep deprivation, and we know that that's just part of the job, and we love it. Labor of love here in the NFL season. Some of you, certainly on the East Coast, might have slept in a little bit later because you stayed up to watch Carlos Alcaraz get dethroned by the American Ben Shelton last night at the United States Open. I must admit I was sound asleep. I could not stay up to watch that five-set thriller, Shelton getting it done in tiebreaker in the fifth set. It's the first time an American has defeated a defending reigning champion here at the U.S. Open since 1989. And very quickly here, Ben Shelton is not the favorite now to win this tournament, despite that great performance last night. Alexander Zverev still is the favorite at +$1.10. The American Ben Shelton at +$1.40. And another American, and Francis Tiafoe, is +650. So United States stand up, Jensen Lewis, in New York City, super late at night. Maybe we can see a little bit earlier for the next round here for Ben Shelton and the boys going forward. But we did want to recognize that great feat last night there at the United States Open. We're very excited, obviously, for football being back tonight. You do this each and every week here on the network when we break down the NFL. But tonight, I do believe you've got a special for this standalone game. What did you build? What's the bet to build to kick off the Daily Gridiron?
Yeah, we do it every year, and every primetime game is what we do. And for all of us that love to do the DFS side of it, then I think there's an opportunity in these primetime standalone games to take advantage in showdown lineups. So let me get on the FanDuel side here to start. So for those that are just new to the competition, the MVP slot is 1.5 times the points, and obviously the salary is elevated there as well. I'm going to go to the guy that I think is going to be the magician here for New England tonight. Give me Drake May, $18,600, the elevated price point there. And then I went a little bit more against myself. So this FanDuel play is a little correlation against me believing that the Patriots win this game. So a little more Seattle heavy, as you can see. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Sam Darnold, Jason Myers, the kicker, Cooper Kupp, A.J. Barner, the tight end. So this is, again, a 5-1 more against. This is kind of a mini hedge on the DFS side. If Seattle does come out and they reign supreme and they make their presence known, then we're going to have a nice night there. But you would imagine Drake May is going to have to do a lot to try and keep the Patriots in the game. On the DraftKings side, we're a little more balanced here. And Dave, this is a different way to make a correlated play. So I like the Patriots to win the game. That would mean that Seattle would be playing at some points from behind. I do think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to have a fair amount of places to navigate. Will Christian Gonzalez kind of be hawking him all night long? Anxious to see what that defensive scheme is going to look like. So we put JSN into the captain spot here on the DraftKings bet the build side for this showdown lineup. Again, 1.5 times your points for that slot. And obviously the elevated price point, $15,900 for JSN. We're going to get Drake May on the DraftKings side there as well. And we're also going to go AJ Brown. So we're going to go a quarterback and wide receiver combo. Same thing. We'll get Sam Darnold in there with JSN. Here's where I went. I think you can be very interested on the pivot off AJ Brown tonight. DeMario Douglas is going to be a guy at $3,000 in DFS. This is a hell of a bargain for a guy who could see upwards of 5-6 targets tonight, maybe even 3 or 4 catches. And that could be the difference maker for you when you're spending on the big ticket items at the top. We'll see what happens, but I liked him. And then Eli Raridan is going to complete it there for $1,800. So those, Dave, the first showdown lineups for Bet the Builds to kick off the season opener between New England and Seattle tonight. And I will call myself out. I did jump the gun. That's a fine for me on not getting the animation across for the Daily Gridiron. So no. I will take ownership of that one. It's my bad. It's my bad. Sorry.
No.
Ryan. Rob and all the creatives. My bad.
That's because we had to get in that the news on Ben Shelton in case you didn't stay up. And as Steve Cohen just said, you couldn't stay up and set the alarm. If I had known it was going to go that long, Jensen, I would have gotten up earlier this morning to watch the conclusion of the match before starting our fine show this morning. So I wish I had known it was going to go all 5.
Get Steve a VMix link. I want to see the timestamp of him watching at 3:30. I want to see it.
Come on. New Yorkers are good. They're built for that stuff. They are. I'm an original New Yorker. Yes. You know, when I'm looking at Drake May being on both your lineups here, obviously to be your MVP for the FanDuel one, to be the in the flex spot here for DraftKings. It was a Super Bowl to forget for him, right? We talked a little bit about it, obviously. Was it the shoulder or the performance? The offensive line was not good in front of him. He was sacked 6 times. He had 2 picks, 1 return for a score. How do you throw that out, Jensen? Like, if you had a bad outing against a player, a team, yeah, and it recurs, right? How do you throw that out if you're Drake May? I do. I'm with you. I actually look at his prop tonight at 240 passing yards at plus money at plus $1.05, and it makes me want to get home to that over 240 because I don't think they win the game unless Drake May is decidedly better, and I think he will be tonight.
Yeah, I think he will too. And a little different day because it's different years, it's different seasons, different personnel, different mindset. I don't know if there's carryover for me in that regard. For what it's worth, and again, a reminder here, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to the Opta AI projections, which we will consult throughout week to week and game to game. Tonight, the line is 232.5 pass yards for Drake May. Opta AI projecting him north of 250, so a little bit over an 8% edge right there. I think that's intriguing to look at. If we look at some of the other skill position players, let me take a look at what they've got for A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, very interesting now. They actually have the under, Opta AI does. 63.5, his listed line at DraftKings for receiving yards. Opta AI has him just a tick above 54. But I think the one that we all want to know about, Dave, is Ramondre Stevenson. And obviously, yes, with Travion Henderson not being available for tonight's game, just the rushing prop for Ramondre Stevenson, the line is 57.5 at DraftKings. Opta AI just a smidge over that at 58.4. And then the receiving prop is also just a smidge over 23.5. So DK having Ramondre Stevenson, 23.5 receiving yards, Opta AI projecting him just north of 25. So not really anything I'd be interested in. The only one that I really saw as far as Opta AI is concerned is the Drake May to have an interception. And I think that one is probably one that you can get home with. So to have at least an interception tonight, looking at $1.14 for the over, believe that's where the price point, over an 11% edge according to Opta AI. So that is the only player prop that has really caught my eye tonight between the Patriots and the Seahawks.
An official ad as the show has gone on. I did add the over 44.5 because I don't think those hooks are coming back. I think those 44s are long gone here. So not getting the best of the number, but I understand why that line move has been made here. So I did weigh that $1.10 here and playing the over 44.5. And I got to be honest, with those hooks gone now down to 3, it's, you know, I can understand where you're coming from and the Patriot backers are coming from here, and I can see that side of it, but I think I'm going to stay away from the side and officially just have that overplay here and then watch in game. So again, if you want to follow on Twitter as well, at DRawSports, at JLou50, I'll give those updates in real time, Jensen, too, as the game's going, because I do like to add in game as well. So not just necessarily a first half, second half, but if I see something at a TV timeout, remember live betting, you got to be Johnny on the spot to try to get these things. So I'll be checking those as the game goes on to see if there's any advantageous spots to hop in. By the way, our producer, Joe Friso, did give us a timestamp of 3:35 in the morning. That's Eastern time, as he did stay up and watch the Ben Shelton, Carlos Alcaraz match. So we have verified that our producer is on a lack of sleep. We do believe Steve Cohen when he says he did as well. So again, I am guilty. I did not make the conclusion of the Ben Shelton, Carlos Alcaraz. But if you did, people, it's a great primer for Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football. Jensen and I do it 3 times a week. We're going to do it 4 times this week with tonight's game being Wednesday night. So you just have to use your sleep wisely And think about naps. They could be your best friend in football season when you want to stay up to watch those primetime games. And then join us every weekday morning here on VSiN by the Books, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. We've got a lot of fun because we're going to have some money-making opportunities with our Moneyline Marathon. We're going to debut that in the very next hour. What goes up must come down with Stock Up and Stock Down to the great Wes Reynolds. It's all straight ahead right here on the Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books.